Grace to you and peace from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you for this opportunity to come before you and lead worship today. I thank you for everyone who is in attendance today and for everyone who may be watching online. Now I pray that the words from my mouth and the meditation of each and every heart will be acceptable to you, O Lord, our Rock and our Redeemer. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. This week, between two of our readings, are two stories in the Gospel that relate back differently to the story in 2 Kings. In 2 Kings, we have the story of Naaman, a Roman general and a Hebrew who is discovered to have leprosy. In Luke, we have the story of 10 lepers and who are compassionately cured by Jesus. And then we have the story of the Samaritan, who was one of these lepers, who recognized the miracle he is a part of, and it changes his life. It completely changes his life. Naaman has everything going for him. He's a war hero, and he is beloved by his king. He is a mighty warrior with a loving family and many, many dedicated servants. But Naaman has leprosy. Now, perhaps it's Hansen's disease, which involves nerve damage and can lead to open sores and possibly amputations. In the Old Testament and the New Testament, leprosy can be any skin disease, from a rash or psoriasis or to Hansen's disease. And because of this condition, lepers are cast out as people worried they were infectious, contagious, or were very unclean. How can you have everything and still be cast out? How can you be a hero and be a villain at the same time? How can everybody want to be with you and at the same time nobody wants to be around you? This is what reality has been going through. Doctors couldn't help him. Everyone is concerned, but no one wants to come close to Naaman. Finally, a young servant girl, a captive from his last victory in Israel, said this to her mistress: "There is a prophet back home who can help Naaman." Now Naaman has hope. He takes 10 talents of silver, 6,000 shekels of gold, and 10 sets of garments, and goes in search of this hope. Naaman knows that he's important, so he knows that this cure, this hope, it has to cost something. Naaman also knows that he is worth it, or at least he's willing to do whatever it takes because he wants to be cured. When Naaman comes to Elisha, the prophet, a man of God, he finds that there is no cost. He doesn't have to do anything difficult, dangerous, or spectacular. All he's asked to do is to wash in the Jordan River 7 times. That's all he has to do. And by this, Naaman is really, really, really. Naaman knows that he is important. So this cure, this hope, it's got to cost something. Naaman also knows that he's worth it, or at least he's willing to do whatever it takes. He needs to be cured, but not in the Jordan River. Come on, can't it be somewhere else? Or can he be doing something else? Once again, his servants come to his aid, and they remind him that he would have crawled through and across the hot bed of coals to be cured. So what's wrong with taking 7 baths in the Jordan River? It was in this moment that Naaman's life is, yes, he was cured from his leprosy, but that perhaps was the smallest change that took place in his life that day. He listened to his servants, and they cared about him. It was not about his victories or his wealth or as what he was known about to be in the world. He listened to Elisha, and he speaks for God and shows God's goodness. Naaman put aside his reputation and all of his accolades. Naaman died to who the world who has been seen and humbled himself before the God of love. And at that moment, his life changed for the better. Naaman returned home, praising God and giving thanks. Thanks to God, but there is no God but the God of Israel, who is willing to help Naaman regardless. Now we find in the gospel story, as it starts out, kind of the same, but at the same time, kind of different. This time there are 10 of them, not just one, and they all are lepers. None of them are famous, heroic, or well known as a celebrity. None of them have a chance or hope because of themselves. Jesus is coming, and that is their hope. Their hope is Jesus is coming. They cry out, "Jesus, Master, have mercy on us." They don't bring gold or silver or wardrobes of garments. They are truly outcasts. They have been forced to leave family behind, forced to leave home and job, forced to be other humiliated, cast out lepers. They are to be kept out in the wilderness until their leprosy left them. Then they could show themselves to the priest and others and offer a sacrifice of thanksgiving, if and when the leprosy ever left them. They cried out to Jesus, and Jesus heard them and had compassion on them. Jesus sent them to the priest, and they went. Like Naaman, they went. There was no proof that anything would happen, but these 10 lepers listened to what Jesus had to tell them. They went to the priest, and on the way, they were cured. The leprosy left them. They could return to their homes and to their families. They could be a part of the community again and no longer be cast out and alone. This was a miracle, as much as a miracle was when Naaman washed himself 7 times in the Jordan River. These stories are showing us that God's love doesn't care how famous we are, doesn't want money or clothes or words or good deeds to earn His attention and His love. God wants people willing to work with Him, willing to listen, willing to humble and walk in the future with hope. This is true for all of us, and it's also true for the sick and the lame, the addicted and the lost, the left behind, and the ones that we see cast out people every day of our lives here in Sydney. God's love is huge, and it pours down on all of us, on everyone, and every day of our lives. Then we have that second story that appears in the gospel, the story where a Samaritan's life is changed. He was one of those 10 lepers cured by Jesus. Then they all went off doing what Jesus asked him, but he turns back. He sees the cure, and he doesn't need to go to the priest. What he needs to do is to go back and say thank you to Jesus. He needs to express his gratitude for this unwarranted gift. He falls in front of Jesus and gives him thanks. He praised God and showed him that his life is changed. Not only could he return to family, friends, home, and work, he recognized God's goodness and was willing to share the truth that of this goodness in his life, his living. This Samaritan's life changed like Naaman's, another foreigner. And like Naaman, he became a witness as well as a child of God. We too are witnesses, or we can be. We have felt the power of God's goodness in our lives, at the font, at the table, in the company of our church family, in prayer, in forgiveness. God's love poured down on us much as it did on Naaman and the Samaritan. We may not have leprosy, but I am sure if we think hard enough, we can relate to a moment in our life when we went through a trying time in our life and our life changed for the better. We are all called, as they were called, to live lives of praise and thanksgiving, to care for our neighbor and proclaim God's goodness to anyone and everyone we can. We who are cast out in sin are welcome in God's family. How can we not share this goodness? God wants to work with all of us and provide all that we need to make God's dream for all creation come true. We are forgiven, blessed, given gifts, so that all we do give witness to the love of God in Jesus Christ our Lord. Now, welcome to the family. I say again, welcome to the family. Amen.